Darren, Kerry and Sky, East Coast Radio.
It's 8:36 Wednesday morning with Darren, Kerry and Sky here on East Coast Radio. And it's round about now that we talk to the good professor. He has been busy on the front line of COVID-19 research. Joining us this morning for our coronavirus update, Professor Tulio de Oliveira. Good morning, Prof.
Yes, a good question, Darren. We're just waiting to get hold of me still. He's still waiting to pick up the phone. So we just... Oh, he's here. Yes. Professor.
Hey, hello. Good morning.
Bon dia, Professor.
Bon dia para todos.
Thanks for joining us, Prof. We're going to get straight into it. We have so many questions that we need to ask. We can see that the infection numbers are decreasing. Are we out of the woods for this phase of the pandemic?
Okay, so of course that it's fantastic when infection numbers decrease, yeah? And it's great to see that happening in South Africa. But the main thing that this new variant is teaching us, not only South Africa, but the whole world, is that we have to focus to basic drive transmission to almost zero, yeah? Otherwise, if... As it happened in South Africa between the first wave and second wave, almost celebrating, oh, we only got 1,000 infections a day in the country. Yeah. You give chance to the virus to get better adapted for transmission, and then you end up with a big spike of infections. For example, we are not expecting this second very high wave on the summer in South Africa, and came all out of the blue with a new, more transmissible variant, which caused massive havoc. Yeah. So that's one thing. The other thing is that in South Africa, we cannot put our guard down. And a lot of us, and probably you and your colleagues, your friends, at least us here at CRISP, yeah, we are beginning to count the COVID pandemic in South Africa, not more in numbers, but in names of people that we know that have died. Yeah. So that normally is also a wake-up call to realize how dangerous this virus is.
And then, Professor, when we look at this new variant, is it the same pandemic new variant, or does this new variant constitute a brand new pandemic?
Okay, so this new variant, and why we call a variant, is because it's the same virus. So it's the same pandemic, but it is accelerated pandemic. What it means that it's variants that cause much more infection, yeah. And one thing that we are seeing, and that we can be at least proud in South Africa of having detected our variant so quick, is that many other countries in the world are following our example. And 4 days ago or a week ago, California detected also another variant that's also causing havoc there, and which also has very similar mutations as the one in South Africa. So unfortunately, we do expect dozens of new variants to be detected in other countries in the world in the next few weeks.
Wow. Prof, it's Nick here. I'm standing in for Sky on the Sport. I just want to know from you, given this new variant, what effects is it having on women and younger people?
Okay. So one thing that we know with this new variant is that more transmissible. Yeah, so it's not surprising that in general we see more transmission and more people being infected of different ages and gender. Yeah. But one thing that we know, and that is we also have expanded our national consortium, not only from genomics, but also to include a lot of clinical epidemiologists, so that medical doctors that analyze epidemic data. One thing that we know that still the major death contribution are in men. Men is 40% more likely to die from COVID ID. Not surprising, women normally take a little bit better care than themselves. And it's also on the older age group, but what one thing that we've seen that in general, with a more transmissible virus, you have more deaths in all the different age groups, just because more infection, even if at the moment we don't have signal that this variant may be more pathogenic, which means not causing more disease, but the shared number of infections end up with large number of deaths. And the MRC excess deaths last week pointed to close to 100,000 excess deaths in South Africa.
Professor Tullio de Oliveira is with us until 9 this morning. My big takeaway from part one is that every single time the virus moves from one person to another, it gives it another opportunity to mutate and another opportunity to become a new variant. So let's not pass the virus on. Continuing with the good professor from CRISP at UKZN's Professor Tullio de Oliveira. And as per usual on Wednesday mornings, he joins us. Welcome back, Prof.
Hey, hello.
So here's a question for you, Prof. Would worldwide vaccination eradicate the disease in years to come, or would it just lose its volatility, just like H1N1 virus? And will future generations see periodic infections come back, like the bubonic plague?
Okay, so the worldwide vaccination campaign is an extremely positive development, because the vaccines that have been developed, and at the moment we have 4 very effective vaccines, which then drastically reduce deaths and disease severity. So that's the main role of the vaccine. Yeah, it is to first decrease deaths and disease severity. So people that get infected may get some light symptoms. Not develop disease. Yeah. And we also expect that we will see what's the role of the vaccines on decreasing transmission, given that the main objective is not to make people sick. Yeah. So that's another very important question that's going to be answered in the next few months. And certain countries like Israel, they already have vaccinated 40% of the population. Mm. And in the last 3 weeks, they see a massive decrease on mortality on the over 60s. It's amazing the results that they are seeing so fast. And that's why a lot of the other European countries, like and the U.S. now with the new president, not more your friend, Darren. It is really investing very heavily on the expansion of the vaccine. But one important thing that we had highlighted, and we had a very nice piece yesterday on the Financial Times, which was an important day because it was the start of the World Economic Forum. So all the politicians would be reading this newspaper. It is that the vaccines have to go together with a strong public health response of testing, contact tracing, and isolation. Because if you do both together, in hand, together with the public compliance to mask, washing hands, and social distance, we would see drastically decreased numbers of this pandemic.
Yeah, I think when the world has a look at the success of Israel, I think there'll be no more doubt there.
And then, Professor, I want to ask about this vaccine. So now let's say the vaccines are here. They're ready for us. Are they kind of like Botox, where you have to do it over and over again? Or is it something that you do one time and you're covered for life?
I don't know. I haven't used Botox yet.
Go look at those his picture updates. This man doesn't need cosmetic surgery.
He's like J-Lo of the viruses.
So one thing that we know at the moment, is that the vaccines are very efficacious where they have been rolled out. Also, another thing that we know and came from important results yesterday from one of the big manufacturers, Moderna, is that they can also adapt the variants to get a booster, the vaccines to get a booster to specific variants, such as the one that we find in South Africa or Brazil or Japan or California. So they are already working on that. Of course, that would be fantastic if we end up with a vaccine like, for example, like measles, that you take once in your lifetime and you are protected. Or maybe we end up one like influenza that you have to take periodically. So at the moment, we are aiming for the first objective, like a kind of measles vaccine, but not a virus that can have transmission. But maybe we'll have some co-formulations every year. One exciting development is also coming from a South African that lives in the U.S. and very famous a clinician. He has done many blockbuster drugs of cancer. His name is Patrick Song Qian, yeah, is that they are also developing vaccines that it's coming in formulations such as sublingual, what it means, like either a drop in your mouth, yeah. Or a small pill that would dilute under your tongue. So there is also big developments there. And for example, some people will know that that's what the polio vaccine is, just a little drop in your mouth. Mm. Yeah. So it's a lot of development in the field, and that's what's happened when hundreds of thousands of scientists and billions of dollars are added to try to solve a disease. Yeah.
So, Prof, what would determine how severely someone is affected? Is it genetics? And if it is, would it be possible to manufacture that specific gene?
So that at the moment is a little bit of science fiction. Yeah. By genetic engineering one individual to have a gene. Yeah, there was some advance on that in the last few years, but we're still very far from that. Yeah. On the human genetics, yeah, what we know, what we learn about this virus, that is two factors. One, it's the blood type, yeah, and that's a gene that control, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, for example, people have seen that blood type A is a little bit more susceptible for development of disease, yeah. Not extremely, but a little bit more. Okay. And the other one, it is like a small region of the genome that were associated with old Neanderthal genomes. Yeah. Yeah. And this one, it's a little bit higher prevalence in some of the southern Indian population. This means from the Indian subcontinent. Mm. Yeah. And that has been associated in the UK, in the United Kingdom, with more disease severity in some of the non-Caucasian population. Yeah.
And Prof, this is a question that's come through from Emma. I know we've asked it before, but it is a popular question, needs to be, I suppose, asked and answered if someone hasn't heard it. Can you be infected twice? Certainly now with the new variants, I think that question bears asking. And how long do the antibodies present in your system for you to stay immune?
Yes. So that's an important question. And one thing that we know even before of the appearance of the new variant is that, yes, you can be infected twice. Mm. Yeah. But what we knew before, that was a kind of rare event. And the first reinfection came from Hong Kong around like April last year. So it's something that the scientific community know quite well, that this virus can reinfect people. Yeah. One thing that we also know from the previous waves is that was a very rare occasion. Yeah. And at the moment, both CRISP, but also Caprisa, Professor Salim Abdulkarim, yeah, team, and many other researchers in the country, top researchers, are trying to answer the question, do this variant cause reinfection more often? So at the moment, it's an open question. Yeah. And as soon as we have that, we may give you exclusivity. Yeah, to highlighting East Coast Radio. Yeah.
I look forward to that exclusivity. And then roughly as an expert, what are the signs that we're looking for when we can start looking forward to not wearing a mask and being able to gather again? At what point do we make that call?
We should only make that call when we can drive infections to almost zero in South Africa. Okay. Yeah. So that's the reality, and we have learned quite a difficult lesson between the first wave and second wave. Mm. And you're gonna remember end of November, like the big parties and people as partying as was no tomorrow, because they wanted to compensate for the time that they lost in the year.
Yeah.
And we end up with a massive second wave. Yeah. And I don't think that would be nice to South Africa to happen again, a massive third wave from taking the eye out of the ball and being complacent, especially because now these next waves, as I mentioned before, they are not just about numbers. It will be about people that we know that have died.
Yeah. Professor Tulio de Oliveira from CRISP at UKZN talking to us every Wednesday. Thank you very much. And this entire conversation will be available on podcast if you need to share it with anyone. We do have that share option. It's on ecr.co.za. Click on Darren, Kerry and Sky's show page.
Darren, Kerry and Sky.